Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All lines will be open and interactive throughout the duration of today's conference. To help reduce any background noise, we do ask that you utilize your mute button when not speaking. If you do not have a mute button, you may press star then six to both mute and unmute your line. Today's call is being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to turn the call over to your host for today, Mr. George Hunter. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Amy, very much, and good morning and good afternoon for those on the call that have taken their time to join us today. We have recently have made an exciting announcement to speed the value of the Tivoli NetCool Performance Manager products to our customers by allowing business partners and customers themselves to start developing these technology packs at a more affordable process and a more easy-to-use technology pack development kit. With this exciting news, Patrick Horrigan, the SE for the Tivoli NetCool Performance Manager Tech Packs, and Tom Randles, the Tivoli NetCool Performance Manager Tech Pack Product Manager, are going to be speaking with you today and answering questions about this exciting announcement so that after this call, you're going to be equipped to go away and have the tools necessary and know where to go to start developing some of these packs on your own for yourself, if you're a customer, as well as business partners. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to my esteemed colleague, Patrick Horrigan, to dive into the presentation. And again, thanks a lot. As a logistic concern, today's call is going to be open, so please feel free to ask questions. But with that, please also put your own phone on mute to eliminate any background noise that would interrupt the presentation. So just be sure and ask, take your phone off mute and ask the question, interrupt and ask the question, but keep it on mute throughout the rest of the presentation. So thanks again, and again, I'm going to turn it over to Pat Horrigan.
I have a question. Star 6 is not working. It says it does not work.
I'm sorry?
It says star 6 does not work to mute your phone.
Okay.
One moment. I was seeing that your line did go on mute. I can mute you on this end, Ms. Coates, if you'd like.
Okay, yeah, because I tried and it says this feature does not work.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and mute you.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that, turn it over to Patrick.
Thanks, George. So I just want to remind people that a large portion of this presentation is actually a demo of the TBTK tool itself. So there should be webcast links included in the meeting invite. So you should join the meeting, the webcast, in order to view the demo. Okay. So I'll just begin. So basically how I expect this presentation to flow is that I will be swapping between the PowerPoint presentation and the actual TBTK tool itself. The PowerPoint presentation will introduce parts of the TBTK tool, and then I expect to actually be able to show you the TBTK tool in action. Okay? So with that, then I'll just begin. So on the second slide, the objectives of this presentation is basically on completion of the presentation, you will be able to understand the purpose of a tech pack, what is typically contained within a tech pack, how each component of a tech pack is used to configure the TMPMW platform, what is the TBTK, how it works at a very high level, the workflow for developing a tech pack using the TBTK, and a lot of the terminology. I'm hoping to be able to give you a meaning of behind the terminology for when you're using the TBTK tools. Okay, so just before we actually look at what the TBTK contains and what it produces, we need to understand the architecture of the TMPMW server itself. So at a very, very high level, the TMPMW server has the following components. It has a gateway. It has a loader module. It has performance table modules. It has a data dictionary module, and it has a reporting module. So the next slide will just give you the basically a verbal explanation of each of those components. So the gateway basically is responsible for parsing the raw performance files that are collected from the network, and it produces what we term LIF files. Now, a LIF file is a loader input format. It's produced by the gateway and contains raw performance data and hierarchical information in a standard text format. So I'm just going to try and give you display actually a sample LIF file so that you understand what it is. So you can see that it's broken up. It has certain configuration attributes inside in the LIF file. So, for example, you can see one here, which is the network ID. Another one is the region ID. And then down here, you actually see, in this particular case, it has two statistics. One is called forward physical flux, and the second one is called reverse physical flux. You can also see that that the LIF file contains hierarchical data. So, for example, in this case, you can see that it contains a cell ID, a BSS ID, a BTS ID, and a carrier ID. And you see that there is an instance for each carrier in this case. So the LIF file in this case is containing four entries for four different carriers, and it's containing the two statistics for those four carriers. So that just gives you an idea of what a LIF file is. It's just a standard format that the gateway parses or the gateway produces in order for the loader to be able to load the statistics into the TMPMW database. So just going back to the presentation again, the third term is the loader, or the third module in the PMW platform is the loader. And this is responsible for parsing the LIF files, like what I just showed. It inserts the data into performance tables within the TMPMW database. The fourth module is the performance tables. The performance tables are basically responsible for storing the performance data, the summarized performance data, and the network configuration data. The fifth module in the TMPMW architecture is the data dictionary. And the data dictionary is responsible for storing metadata for the network being monitored. So it basically stores network hierarchy, metric names, and so on. The last module that I'm going to go into is the reporting module. And this module is responsible for displaying data from the performance tables in either reports or charts and so on. Okay, so just on the tech packs then, right? So the TMPMW platform provides a rich performance management framework, but that's it. It's basically a framework or a platform, and by itself, it cannot perform performance management on a particular network element type. So this is where a tech pack comes in. A tech pack is a product that delivers technology and or vendor-specific performance management functionality. So basically what a tech pack does is it configures the TMPMW platform to be able to do performance management on a particular vendor's equipment. So by separating out the tech packs from the TMPMW platform, it ensures that the core platform can evolve independently of the types of devices that it's managing. Okay, so I'm moving on to slide 6. So just on the tech pack, to map the tech pack to the PMW components then, so the tech pack, you can see, is composed of reports, a meta layer, a load map, and alarms, and also the tech pack contains parser configuration. And you can see that the reports part of the tech pack maps to or configures the reporting module in the TMPMW server. The meta layer part of the tech pack configures the data dictionary and the performance table modules. The load map and the alarms part of the tech pack configures the loader module in the TMPMW server, and the parser config basically configures the gateway. So just on the just to give the terminology or the meaning behind the terminology for a tech pack. So what is a load map? So a load map is used to configure the loader. It describes what data in the list files to load into each column in the NC and raw tables. So basically what it is it's basically a set of instructions that the loader uses in order to be able to insert particular variables that are found in list files into their correct position in the database. The second term is an alarm template, and this is used to configure the loader. So basically, it causes alerts or alarms to be raised during loaded time if a given metric reaches a particular threshold. So, you know, it basically, again, it's a set of rules that's given to the loader so that when the loader is loading particular statistics, that if a particular statistic has exceeded a particular value, it will have the ability to raise an alarm. The third term is a meta layer, and the meta layer is used to configure the data dictionary and define the raw and NC tables. So it defines user-friendly names for the network hierarchy and performance metrics. So basically what the meta layer is basically a layer that's sitting above the database that allows kind of the user-friendly terms to be exposed to the end user. The fourth term is a busy hour, and the busy hour is the hour of the day at which a defining metric is at its highest value. So a busy hour value is the value of some other metric as the busy hour. So I guess that speaks for itself. It's just that we pick a particular busy hour, or we pick a particular KPI that will be acting as the busy hour determiner. So the highest value of that particular KPI determines when the busy hour actually is. The next term is a summary. And what is a summary? It's basically a mathematical aggregation of a metric's value over time. So, for example, a daily summary or a weekly average. So the TMPMW installer creates summary tables based on the information that's contained within a tech pack. The next term is a report. And basically, a report is used to configure reporting. So it contains a predefined set of metrics, which basically are the names that are used in the meta layer. So these are the names that the user actually sees when they're interacting with the PMW server itself. Okay, so I'm moving on to slide 8. So just on the tech pack overview. So there's basically tech packs fall into two categories. They're either vendor-specific or vendor-neutral. So tech packs are always associated with a technology and most often a network subsystem also. So basically we will have a tech pack that's technology-specific but also more than likely subsystem-specific also. So the examples that are given is, for example, we could have a GSM BSS tech pack, a GSM NSS tech pack, a GPRS SGSN tech pack, a UMTS UTRAN tech pack. Tech packs are generally associated with a vendor, and would be termed vendor-specific. So just to go back on the last point, so this time if we were building a vendor-specific tech pack, we will now have, for example, a Nortel GSM BSS tech pack or a Nokia UMTS UTRAN tech pack. So some tech packs may define metrics that apply to many vendors and would be termed vendor neutral. So in these types of tech packs, they're not tied to any particular vendor, but they are tied to a technology and a subsystem. So we do have tech packs that are, for example, vendor neutral UMTS, we have a vendor neutral GSM, we have a vendor neutral GPRS, and so on. So in these types of tech packs, the vendor would be set to a neutral. The meta layer would define the vendor neutral metrics and the raw table. And basically, what we would do then is we have a vendor-specific load map that would be developed per vendor that would basically map to the vendor-neutral meta layer. Okay, so now I'm going to move on and start basically describing the TBTK itself. So on slide 9, the purpose of the TBTK. So first of all, what does the TBTK stand for? It's basically an acronym for the Technology Pack Development Kit. So it's a tool that's used to develop tech packs for both TNPMW and NPM. So using the TBTK, tech packs are faster to produce than doing manually. It also enforces consistency in design, and it also improves the quality of tech packs in the sense that it has parts that validate the overall design and ensure that the model integrity is kept. Okay, so moving on to slide 10. So the TBTK architecture itself, so you can think of it as that it has basically kind of three parts. It has an input part. It has a KPI repository part that has processing tools that work on it. And the third part is the output part. Okay. So moving on to slide 11. So tech pack requirements and design are stored in a relational database, and that's basically the KPI repository. So that was the center part in the last diagram. So all information regarding a tech pack is actually stored in a database in itself. So that database is a separate database from the TNPMW server. This is just a database that is used to develop the tech pack. So the TBTK can be used in a single-user mode or a multi-user mode. If it's used in a single-user mode, it uses a local Derby database. If it's used in a multi-user mode, where you can have multiple engineers actually developing a tech pack, in that case, you would need an Infimix database in order to store the KPI repository. So the KPI repository data can be accessed and manipulated by software tools. So again, from the last diagram, we saw that there's input tools, there's processing tools, and there's output tools. The input tools are basically tools that are there to allow the user to enter data into the KPI repository. So for example, there is the TBTK GUI itself that the user can use. There is also they also have the option of using a CSV file, and along with that, using another part of the TBTK tool that can parse the CSV file in order to insert data into the KPI repository. And the third input method is actually taking a backup from an already existing KPI repository and using that as input into a new repository. The second types of tools is the processing tools. So what these tools do are that they add further information into the repository. Okay. So, for example, these tools create the raw performance tables, and they also have the ability to add metric definitions add additional metric definitions on top of the ones that are already in the database. The third type of tools are the output tools. So here, there is different types of tools. There's a documentation tool that basically outputs the entire KPI repository in a HTML file format that's user-readable. There is also tech pack output tools that actually produce the actual tech pack that will be loaded onto the PNW server itself. And finally, there is tools for outputting the KPI repository so as that it can be used as a backup for it to be used in future releases. Okay, so just on the TBDK workflow then, which I'm on slide 12. So what's the workflow in order to create a tech pack? So the first thing that you do is you create a new project. By creating a new project, this results in a new KPI repository being created. Now, when a new KPI repository is created, it is empty, except for what we call the global object model. Now, a global object model is basically an object model that's generally useful for technologies. So, for example, we have a global object model that would match or that would be used for GSM. So, for example, the objects that would be in that model would be MSC, BSC, BTS, CEL, and so on. So objects that are generally useful in order to be able to build a tech pack for GSM. There's several varieties of the global object model. So there is a global object model for GSM, for GPRS, for UMTS, for LTE. Okay, so the next step is once the project has been created, we then start to define the high-level tech pack requirements. So what these requirements contain are the network objects, so the object hierarchy, the performance metrics to be used for the tech pack, the busy hour definitions, summary definitions, and the data availability definitions. So the way we usually input the requirements, these types of requirements into the repository is using the CSV file format and using a counter parser in order to parse the CSV information into the KPI repository. So the next step, once the high-level design has been achieved, is to define the low-level tech pack components. So here we're talking about defining the actual physical schema that will be used on the TNPMW platform itself to be able to support the tech pack requirements. So this high-level design, or this low-level design, is achieved using a component designer tool. The next step in the workflow is once the low-level design has been achieved, is to validate the whole tech pack definition itself. So again, there's data validation tools available as part of the TBDK that will validate and check the integrity of the tech pack model. The next step in the workflow is to produce the tech pack documentation. So again, this is a tool that will interpret the KPI repository and output the entire information in the repository in a user-readable format. And then the next step is to produce the actual tech pack output. So now what we're doing is we have all the information in the KPI repository, and what we want to do is actually start building the tech pack module that will be loaded onto the TNPMW server itself. So again, there is various tools that will output the different parts of the tech pack that we went through earlier. And the final part or the final step in the workflow is basically to back up the KPI repository itself. So again, there is a tool there that will be able to back up the entire contents of the KPI repository into XML files so that they can be used, for example, if you wanted to do an upgrade of a tech pack. Okay, so just another few terms that we need to understand before we actually start looking at the TBDK tool itself. So again, this is just a glossary of TBDK terms that we need to understand. So the first one, I'm on slide 14, is the tech pack module. So this is what we normally call a tech pack for short. It's a single tech pack deliverable. Generally, one module relates to a particular vendor and subsystem. Different versions of a module would equate to different vendor versions. So basically, a tech pack will map to a particular version of a subsystem for a particular vendor. And if for a different version, a different tech pack would be required. So the vendor version term, this is the version of the vendor's software running on the network equipment. So for an example would be the Nortel BSS 12.4 or the Ericsson BSS R10. A package. So what is a package? A package is a related subset of information in the KPI repository, especially useful if the database contains multiple tech pack definitions. The output tool will only export the data which is included in the package. So basically, a package is a way of gathering information that's in the KPI repository, gathering it so that it can be used as one unit. The next term is a network object. And a network object is basically a physical or a logical network element. So an example would be a cell, a BSC, a region. The next term is an attribute. And basically an attribute is a property of a network element, which generally does not change over time, and which is not a performance metric. So for example, a cell ID, a cell name, a cell version, a BSC manufacturer, they're all attributes. The next term is a KPI, and a KPI is any performance metric, whether it's one-to-one or complex. And we'll go through what that actually means a bit later on in the presentation. The next term is a KPI group. A KPI group is basically a way of grouping related KPIs together. So, for example, you can have cell KPIs that are broken into two groups, like a traffic KPI group or a control traffic KPI group. The next term is an abstract mapping. And an abstract mapping is an expression describing the source formula for an attribute or a KPI. So it references the list blocks or variables or other KPIs. So again, looking at here, so an abstract mapping, you'll see it when we go on to the demo. Basically, an abstract mapping uses anything that's inside in the list file. So for example, it could reference a cell ID. It could reference a statistic, in this case, like a forward physical flux, and so on. The next term is a counter source, and this is the origin of a set of performance information. Generally, one counter source is created per vendor version, and hence per module. So you will have one counter source more than likely per module. And abstract mappings are specified per counter source. The next term is a metalayer mapping. And this is an expression that ultimately forms part of the metalayer. So it describes where the data for an attribute or a KPI comes from in the NC or raw tables. So again, if you think about the metalayer sits above the raw tables, and it's the metalayer that the user interacts with. So in order for the meta layer to be able to map to be able to map a meta layer expression to be able to map to the raw data, we need these meta layer expressions or meta layer mappings. The next term is a LIF type, and a LIF type is a type of LIF file. So all LIF files of the same type would contain data from the same vendor subsystem and would use the same format for variable names. So basically, every vendor subsystem would have a specific LIF type. So a LIF, generally, you would have a LIF type defined per TechPack module. The next expression or the next term used is a loader mapping. And a loader mapping is basically similar to the meta layer mapping, is an expression that ultimately forms part of the load map. So if you remember from an earlier part in the presentation, we said that the load map is basically an instruction set to the loader so that the loader knows where to basically store statistics in the raw tables. And the final term that we need to cover is a rule set. And a rule set is a group of related loader mappings, generally one rule set per counter source. So what we're able to do, or what we do, is we gather the load map mappings into rule sets, and we control the rule set either by activating or deactivating the rule set. We, in turn, impact the loader mappings. Okay, so I'm now going to go to the more demonstrative part of the presentation, which is the demo. And in order to demo the TBDK, I thought that the best way to do it was actually to build a very simple tech pack. So the application that I chose in order to demo the TBDK was to build a tech pack for a very simple tech pack for an MMSC. So a multimedia messaging service center. So I'm now on page 17. So the object model for the...
Hey, Patrick.
Yes?
This is George. Just this is a good part to take a pause and see if there are any questions out there at all. I know you guys were able to answer them all along, but, you know, are there any thoughts that anybody wants to get across or any questions at this point in time?
Hi, this is Jan from AdTech.
Yes.
I have no question. Everything seems to be pretty straightforward so far. I don't know if I'm the only not IBMer here on this call. And if so, can I have just 2 minutes to get my co-developer on this presentation, because right now it got really interesting. So if we can just two minutes pause, okay? I'll get one more guy, and we can carry on then. Would it be possible?
Yeah, there might be other questions that would possibly fill that time. So we'll just get started in a few, and then he can join whenever he gets back.
Okay, so just 1 minute break, and we'll be back, okay?
Thank you.
Quick question, is this for 5.0.5 or is there going to be a 5.0.6 for the 1.3 release?
So Tom, do you want to take those types of questions?
Yeah, I can feel that. The TBDK is an integral part of our future tooling for the TNPM platform. And especially with the wireline component, which will be included in this tooling. So there will be future releases. I can't say exactly what versions, but it's absolutely strategic.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is, are you discussing here the current release, 5.0.5, or is there a 5.0.6 coming out with the 1.3? A very specific release. What release are... Nowhere was it discussed what release this is. This is the latest tech pack. Is that 5.0.5? That's the question.
So, Pat, I guess, can you help about on your TBDK version? Can you...
So if you just bear me 2 seconds now. So the version that I'm using at the moment is 5.04. So the 5.05 is just being released, but what I'm the version of the tool that I'm actually using at the moment is 5.04.
Pat, I've got a question on the use of the Garmin. I suppose specifically, just how flexible is that, and can it apply to any network entity, and maybe for partners as well? Can they build their own GOMs, and what is there any recommendation around that?
Okay, so basically, as I said, you know, a GOM is basically a generic. It's a generic object model that's applicable to a technology, okay? So what it provides is a starting point for anyone developing a tech pack for that technology, right? So if the object model in the GOM does not suit the tech pack that you're developing, you're free to not use the GOM if you so desire. But if the object model in the GOM suits what you're doing, then you can use you're actually encouraged to use the GOM object model. So what I'm saying is that the GOM the object model is not you can't change the GOM object model. But what you can do is if it doesn't suit your purpose, you can use parts of it and supplement your own object model into it. Does that answer your question, Tom?
Fine, thanks.
Is there any other questions? So I'm just conscious, I'm not sure whether we answered the versioning question that was asked earlier. So as I said, you know, the 5.05 is currently being released. At the moment is the 5.04 version, but to be honest, there is very little difference between the versions anyway. But I think what your question was more about the roadmap. Okay, so if there is no other questions, what I suggest that we just continue then with the actual demo itself. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, what I want to do is demo the building of a very simple tech pack for a multimedia messaging service center. So the object model that I want to include in the tech pack is the object model, a very simple object model. It has a network, a region object, and an MMSC. Now, the network and the region are already in our global object model, so there is no need for me to redefine the network and the region. I can just use the objects that are in, or the object definitions that are in the global object model, and you will see how I do that as we go through the demonstration. So I'm going to create a new object, which is the MMSC. Its parent is going to be the region, and its grandparent is going to be the network. The MMSC was going to have the following KPIs. It's going to have submit requests, submit success, delivery requests, delivery success. I'm going to define a busy hour for the MMSC. And I'm also going to define complex calculations, for example, a percentage delivery success. Now, this is a simple kind of complex calculation, but you just get the idea of what the TBDK actually allows you to do. And finally, I'm also going to develop an alarm template that's based on the delivery failures. So that an alarm is generated if the delivery failures is excessive. Okay, so the first step is to create the project. And you will see that I need to switch between the presentation and the TBTK tool throughout the demonstration. Okay, so the first step is to create the project. So I'm now going to create a new project for this new tech pack. So I go up under File, New Project. I give in the project name. So I'm just going to pick a particular vendor. It doesn't really matter because all of this is kind of fictitious. So I'm just going to pick a vendor ZTE, MMSC, and I'm going to give it a version 3.0. So that's the project name. So I've called this ZTE MMSC version 3.0. And I want verbose logging turned on. You can see automatically that the database name is populated to be the same as the project name. So again, what this is doing is it's creating the KPI repository for the tech pack. So this is not anything to do with the database that would be installed on the PMW server itself.
Hold on one second, Patrick. Hey, Ven, I believe that your line is not muted. If you don't mind, if you can mute that would be great.
Sorry about that.
Okay. So we now created the new project, and you can see that the TBTK has switched into edit mode for that project. Okay? So just going back again to the presentation, the next step is to create the vendor, the subsystem, and the counter source. So to do that, we go under definitions, vendors. So I'm going to create a new vendor, which is the ZTE vendor. So the tool by default is in read-only mode. And you'll see that throughout the demonstration, I need to activate the edit mode in order to be able to modify the KPI repository. So in this case, it's in read-only mode. I need to put it into edit mode. So in order to put it into edit mode, I use one of the icons on the menu. Okay. So as you're probably aware, the KPI repository is a database. It's a relational database. So most of what we're doing is adding when we define a tech pack. What we're doing is adding information, and in order to add information, what that actually means is we're adding rows into the KPI repository. So, again, there are icons on the toolbar that are there to add rows and delete rows. So I'm going to add a new row, and this row is now for to accommodate the ZTE vendor. Okay. So I've now added the ZTE vendor. I now want to add the subsystem for that vendor. So again, I choose the vendor, and I choose subsystems. So again, the screen is in read-only mode, and I need to add a new subsystem. So in order to do that, I need to go into edit mode. So I'm going to add the subsystem name to be MMSC. I'm going to give in a description for the subsystem as the multimedia messaging service center. Okay. I'm going to add a version. So I'm going to call it 3.0. And the version name, I call it 3.0. I'm going to give an interface name and a description. Again, this is more just for documentation. So I'm just going to give the interface name to be the MMSC interface, and I give a description to say that it's the format of it is ASCII CSV. Okay. So now at this point we've created the vendor, we've created the subsystem, and the last part that we need to do is create the counter source. So in order to create a counter source, we've chosen the subsystem. We now just create the counter source based on that subsystem. So again, we go into edit mode. We choose the subsystem to be the MMSC. We choose the version to be 3.0, and we give the name for the counter source. So I'm going to call the counter source ZTE MMSC 3.0. Okay. So we now go back to the presentation and look at the next step for creating the tech pack. So the next step is to create the network model. So if we go now and create the network model. So as I said earlier, the network model is very simple. It consists of a network object, a region object, and an MMSC. So in order to create the network model, we go under definitions, network objects. So you can see here that there is a whole bunch of objects already existing. And these are the objects that I was referring to that are the GOM objects. And you can see the little tick box next to them that to represent that they're belonging to the GOM. So you can see that the actual network and the region object, just catch the region object, are actually both in the GOM. So there is no need for me to define the network and region at this point. They're already existing. So in order, I need to add the MMSC object though. So again, in order to add the object, I go into edit mode and add a new row. So add a new row and I'll call the new object MMSC. I give a description for the object just to be the multimedia messaging center. Okay, and just save it. Okay, so now we have our new object added. You can see that the tick box for the GOM is not ticked, so it means that this object is not in the GOM. Okay, so what we'll do now is we've defined the object. What we need to do is actually add the attributes to the object. So what I'm going to do is, again, select the MMSC and select attributes. So that will bring up the attributes screen. And again, we need to go into edit mode. So I'm going to add four attributes to the MMSC. One is the MMSC ID. The second will be the MMSC name. The third will be the network ID. And the fourth will be the region ID. So we'll just do that now. So the first is the MMSC ID. Okay. We'll just give a description. Okay, we'll give a data type to be string, and we'll say that the attribute type is actually the primary identifier. So what this is actually doing is when we enter data types and primary IDs, this is actually instructing how the schema on the database that will be installed on the PMW server should be defined. So we're saying that the MMSC ID column should have a data type of string, and it needs to be the primary key of the MMSC ID or the MMSC table. So we go on and we add the second attribute, which is the name. So again, to add a new attribute, we go and use the add button. So this will be the MMSC name. Again, we just give a description. Okay. Again, we give in a data type, and we specify the attribute type. And this time, we're going to specify the attribute type to be the naming attribute. The third attribute then is the network ID that I want to add. So again, I'm going to give network ID just to give a description. And I'm going to specify that the data type is string. The attribute type this time is an indirect relation. And because I've chosen that it's an indirect relation, I need to specify what the related object is. So I need to specify that it's the network object. So what this is actually doing is it's giving information to the TMPMW server meta layer so that it's able to roll statistics up from an MMSC level up to a network level. So that's what specifying something with a relationship will actually do. So again, the last attribute that I want to add is the region. So I'm going to add the region ID. Again, I just give a brief description. I specify the data type to be string, and this time the attribute type is going to be the direct parent of the MMSC. And again, because I chose that it's a relationship type attribute, I need to specify the related object. And this time, I need to choose the region object to be the direct parent. So that's that part. Okay, so now I've added the MMSC object, and I've added four attributes to that object. And I just need to save it. Okay, so I just go back again to the next step in the workflow is to actually create the KPIs. So just still on the presentation on page 19, KPIs, there are two types of KPIs. There are simple KPIs, which we call one-to-one KPIs, that map to single counters in the LIP file. And the second type of KPI is a complex KPI, and these are basically mathematical expressions that use either variables that are in the LIP file or other KPIs that have already been defined. With a complex KPI, that's subdivided actually into two types in itself. There's load map expressions and there's metalayer expressions. The difference between a load map expression, a complex KPI, and a metalayer complex KPI is that a load map actually calculates it's the loader that calculates the expression and actually stores the value, whereas a metalayer complex KPI is calculated at runtime or dynamically. So it's calculated upon request. So if a user is running a report and they choose a metalayer complex KPI, it's at that point, it's at the point of where the report is running that the actual mathematical expression is evaluated. So that's the difference between both of them. The load map actually is stored, whereas the metalayer one isn't stored. It's calculated on the fly. So just the KPI information then is, where do we get the KPI information in order to develop TechPack? Well, that generally comes from the vendors, the vendor documentation. So the vendor documentation will usually contain the list of KPIs, the data types, the object model, and so on. So we use that information in order to build the KPIs. So the third point is KPIs can be defined in two ways. We can either use the TBDK GUI itself, or we can use a CSV file format and use a part of the TBDK in order to parse the CSV file. Obviously, if you're creating a large number of KPIs, it's much more efficient to use the CSV file method to create those KPIs. If you want to modify existing KPIs, then perhaps you would use, in that case, the TBDK GUI itself in order to modify those KPIs. So just on the spreadsheet then, so as I said, in order to make bulk changes to the tech pack, so for example, if we wanted to add a whole bunch of KPIs, we would use a CSV file in order to do that. So this is really just a spreadsheet that's saved as a CSV format. And the spreadsheet has certain columns, which I'm just going to go through now, and then I'll show you the actual spreadsheet itself. So the columns are the network object. And what is the network object? Basically, the network object column is the network object to which the KPI relates. So, for example, the cell, the BSC, the MSC, and so on. The counter block column. So this is the actual list block name from which the KPI is calculated. So again, if I just go back and show you, in a list file, these are what we call list blocks. So in this case, you can see that it's the name of this list block is called cell packet flux underscore 1x. And that's what would go, that type of naming would go into the counter block column. The next column is the counter name. So again, this is the LIF variable name, which the KPI gets its value. So again, just going back to show you in our LIF, so here, this is the counter name. So in this case, it's forward physical flux. So that's the KPI, or that's the counter name that would be used to actually populate the KPI. The next column in the spreadsheet is a description. So that's just a description for the actual KPI itself. The next column is a counter type. So we need to specify the type of counter that the KPI is. And this really impacts the summarization process. So, for example, if you have a gauge type counter, it needs to be set to an intensity. And the summarization for the default summarization for intensity counters is an average. Whereas if you're doing a count, if the counter is a count type counter, then in that case, the counter type will be set to accumulation. And the default summarization for an accumulation type counter is summarization. The next column type is a data type. And here we just specify the data type for the KPI. So for whether it's a float, an integer, an Erlang, or a long, or so on and so on. The next column is the units. So here, again, this is more for documentation. We specify the unit of the KPI, whether it's a number, whether it's a percentage, whether it's an Erlang, and so on. The next column is the KPI group name. Again, this is the name of the KPI group that we want the KPI to come under. So if you remember earlier, I said that we have the possibility of grouping KPIs into a related group called the KPI group. The next column is a KPI group abbreviation. And what this basically is the name of the table. Each KPI group actually maps to a table in the KPI repository. And what the KPI group abbreviation is the actual physical name of that table. Basically, there is restrictions on the size of the names of tables. So in order to be able to accommodate that, that's where the KPI group abbreviation comes in. It's basically that you can abbreviate the KPI group name to be less than 19 characters so that the table can be called that name. The next column is the KPI slash attribute name. And again, this is the name of the KPI that will be exposed in the metal layer. Similarly to the KPI group abbreviation, we also have a KPI abbreviation. And again, the reason for this is that this represents the name of the column in the physical table in the KPI repository. Again, there is restrictions on the length of column names in the database. So this is what we use an abbreviated name in order to define the column name. The next column is a KPI expression, and this is basically a formula for the KPI if the KPI is not a one-to-one KPI. So if it's a complex KPI, we populate the KPI expression column. The next column is a busy hour name. Again, we can pick one of the KPIs in the spreadsheet to be the busy hour or to be the busy hour determiner. And we do that by filling in the busy hour name column for that particular KPI. The next column is the busy hour acronym. And this is a short acronym, so it's basically an acronym or an abbreviation for the busy hour. The next column is the summary types. And basically, this column is used to assign summary types to the different KPIs. So, for example, for an intensity type counter, we can assign summary types like average, maximum, minimum. similar for counter types that are percentages, again, we would probably assign summary types like average, maximum, minimum for those as well. Okay. The next column is the attribute type. And again, this is similar to what we just saw when we were populating our object model, where we had to define whether the attribute was the primary identifier, a configuration attribute, a relational attribute, a direct parent, and so on. So that's the column where we populate that information. And the last column in the spreadsheet is the related object. So again, that's related to the previous column where the attribute type is specified to be a relational type attribute. Then we need to specify the related object to complete that relation. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you the spreadsheet. Okay. So this is the template, and as you see here, when you go across the columns, they're exactly the same as what we've just called out in the presentation. So, as I said, what we said earlier is we want to define a few different KPIs for our sample tech pack. The KPIs that we want to define are submit requests, submit success, delivery request, delivery success, percentage delivery success, and percentage delivery failures. Okay, so I'm going to basically define those various KPIs now using the spreadsheet. So again, under the network object, I'm going to specify the network object to be the MMSC. I'm going to specify the counter block, which again is basically the lift block name, to be traffic. I'm going to specify the counter name to be submit success or submit request. I'm going to just put in a description to say that this is the number of submit requests. I'm going to specify the counter type to be accumulation. I'm going to specify the data type to be integer. I'm going to specify the units to be just a number. I'm going to specify the KPI group name to be also called traffic. The abbreviation, I can also call it the exact same as the KPI group name because the actual group name is less than 19 characters. So I just call that traffic as well. So the physical table in the KPI repository will now be called traffic. And I'm going to call the KPI itself, I'm going to call it the same as the counter name. I'm going to call it submit request. And again, because the KPI name is less than 30 characters long, I can call the abbreviation the same as the KPI name. Okay, so that's the first KPI I added. So now I'm going to add the submit success. So you can see straight away, just by using the spreadsheet, the power of using the spreadsheet in that you can copy and paste and so on. So I'm just going to change the counter name to be submit success. Going to just change the description to be successes. Again, the counter type is going to be accumulation. The data type is integer. The unit is number. The KPI group is traffic. They're all the exact same, and we just change the KPI name again to be submit success. And again, we'll just call the abbreviation to be the same because, again, the KPI name is less than 30 characters. So I'm going to add another KPI, which again is called delivery request. Okay, again, we'll just change the description to be the number of delivery requests. Again, the counter type is accumulation. The data type is integer. The unit is a number. And again, we'll just change the KPI name to be delivery request and the abbreviation to be the same. Okay. Similarly, I want to add another KPI, which is the delivery success. So again, I'll just copy the row and I'll just change the individual part to be success. Okay. So now we come to, so we've defined the simple one-to-one KPIs. Now what I want to do is add a meta layer, a complex calculation. So in order to do that, and that basically that KPI is going to be called percentage delivery success. So I'm going to again assign the MMSC as the network object. I'm going to give in, this time, because it's calculated in the meta layer, and as I said before, the meta layer is a runtime calculation. It has no impact, or the loader has no impact on it. And because of that, it doesn't have a counter block or a counter name associated with that expression or with that KPI. So I'm going to give in a description. The description is... the percentage delivery success. Okay, I'm going to give in the counter type this time to be percent okay. I'm going to give in the data type to be float. The unit is going to be a percentage. And again, the KPI group and group abbreviation are going to be the same. And the name is going to be percentage. Delivery success, and this time because the KPI is beginning with a percentage sign, that's not a legal character for a column name, so I'll just change the percentage sign in the abbreviation to BPC. So the last KPI that I want to add, again, is a complex KPI, but this time it's a load map expression. So again, I'm going to, and the KPI that I want to add is the percentage delivery fail. So again, the network object will be MMSC. Again, because this is a loader expression, we need to give in the lift block name. And because it's an expression, it's not a single counter that's in the lift block. It's actually going to be a calculation that's using a number of counters. I leave the counter name column blank. I give in a description for the KPI to be the percentage delivery fail. This time I'm going to specify that the counter type is an intensity type counter. The data type is float. The unit is also a percentage, and I also want it in the same KPI group called traffic. Actually, this is changed here. I'm just going to change this. This should be percentage, and this should be PC. Okay. So here, the KPI name is called percentage delivery failure. Okay, and now I purposely left the expressions for both of these blank at the moment, so let's go back and look at the percentage delivery success. So what is the delivery success formula? It's basically delivery success divided by delivery attempts multiplied by 100 over 1. Okay, so because I specified that the counter type is percent okay, the system will automatically take care of the divide by 0, and it will also multiply the expression by 100 over 1 automatically. So I just need to specify that I want the expression to be delivery request or delivery success divided by delivery attempts or requests. So again, these are KPIs that already exist now in the system. So we have delivery success divided by delivery request. Okay. And for here, for the load map calculation, you will see when we use meta-layer calculations, all meta-layer calculations use KPIs that are surrounded by the curly brackets. And that's just a way to represent the or to reference a KPI for a meta-layer expression. Okay, for load map expressions, we don't use the curly brackets because the actual counters are counters that are contained within the lift block that we've mentioned in for the counter block column. So here, the formula for the failure is we're going to say that it's delivery request. Minus delivery success divided by delivery request multiplied by 100. Okay, so you can see the meta layer, the difference between the meta layer formula and the load map expression formula. So the meta-layer formula, again, references KPIs using the curly brackets, whereas the load map formula is using counters that are contained within the lift block. Okay, so that's it. We've defined now our KPIs. I'm purposely going to change one of the KPIs, the meta-layer KPI, to introduce an error, because further on in the presentation, I want to show you the validation tool that will try and catch that error. So I'm just going to misspell the delivery success KPI. So I'm going to save this then, as it needs to be saved as a CSV file. So I'm just going to save it as MMSC3_0, and I'm going to save it as a CSV format. So now we have our KPIs in the CSV format. The next step is to actually import that CSV file into our model now. So in order to do that, there is a tool to parse CSV files. So under Tools, Counter Parser, it brings up the Counter Parser tool. So what we specify here is we want to import into a counter source. So we specify the counter source we created earlier. We specify the technology to be UMTS. And then we give the location of the CSV file. I'm just going to give in the CSV file name. So I can run the parser in test mode just to make sure that there's no parsing errors before I insert the stuff into the database. So in order to run the parser then, there's a go button. So the parser tool is completed and it gives us a log of what the parser will actually do if we take it out of test mode. So it will say that there will be 6 KPIs will be inserted. So that's what we want. So let's take it out of test mode and run it again. So we just clear the log and run the tool again. So this time the tool has parsed the file and updated the KPI repository. So what we'll do now is just have a look at the actual repository just to see that it actually inserted the KPIs. So again, we select the MMSC object. And we'll go down and select the KPI groups for the MMSC. So you see now that the KPIs that we added in this CSV file have now been inserted into the KPI repository. Okay. So the next step, just go back to the presentation. So the next step is now to add attribute mappings. So let's go back again to the TBDK tool. So if we go to the MMSC and this time go to attributes. So So previously what we did was we added the four attribute names, but we never added any mapping. So we never specified how the attributes will be populated. So what we're doing now is we're going to specify using the TBTK GUI how the attributes are to be mapped or are to be loaded. We could do this using the CSV file format as well, but I wanted just to show you the GUI as well as the CSV. So we'll just add the abstract mappings now for each of the attributes. So again, it's in read-only mode, and we need to add a new row, so we put it into edit mode. We add a new row. We associate the mapping with a counter source that we created, and we give in the abstract mapping. And this time, all the mappings are we need to specify the list block and the variable name in the list block that's going to populate this particular attribute. So the list block is called traffic, and the variable name in the list block is called MMSCID. So again, if you look at the example list, you can see here, for example, in the list there is a region ID, there is a network ID, there is a cell ID. So this would be very similar to our MMSCID now. So we're specifying that in the list, in our example, we're saying that we're going to have a list block called traffic. Within that list block, there's a variable called MMSCID, and the loader needs to use that MMSCID in the traffic list block in order to populate the MMSCID attribute. So we move on. The next attribute, again, we just add a new mapping for that attribute. We specify the counter source that we created earlier, and again, I'm just going to call it the user-friendly name to be the same as the primary identifier. So again, it's called traffic.mmscid. We go on to the next attribute, which is network ID, and again, we specify the abstract mapping for that. And we specify that, again, to use the traffic list block, and this time to use the network ID variable that's in that list block in order to populate the network ID attribute. Move on to the next one, which is the region ID. So again, we specify the counter source and the abstract mapping. And again, it's the traffic source, and this time the variable that we're going to use in the list block is called region ID. Okay, so now what we have done is we have basically given a mapping for each of the attributes in our object model. So again, we just go back to the presentation and we look at the next step. So the next step is to run validation tests. So again, the TBTK has a tool that basically is able to validate the integrity of the model. So in order to run that tool, we go under Tools, Data Validation. Because we're in the requirements phase of building the tech pack, I'm going to specify that I want the requirements test to be run. And I need to specify the output file location for the log file for the test. So I'm just going to specify a location. I'm just going to give the actual file name to be test.log. Okay. I'm going to turn on verbose logging. So you just see the tool working, and we start the tool. So you can see that there's a whole bunch of tests being run on the model at the moment. Okay, so the tool is finished, and it has created a log file for us. And we can open the log file now and just look at the tests. All right, so I'm just going to share this. So you can see now in the log file, we just go down through some of the tests. There's around 170 tests run for the requirements phase. So you can see down here on test 10, there's a test that says that the following KPI group does not have a description. which was required for documentation. So that they're saying that the traffic KPI group has no description. So that's one test that's failed. Number 15 is fine. That's related to the global object model. That doesn't impact our tech pack. So the next test is the one that we purposely made the expression for the percentage delivery success wrong. So we misspelled delivery success, so we need to fix that as well. So let's go and fix those two problems now and run the test again. Okay, so in order to fix those problems, we'll use the actual TBDK GUI itself. So again, we go to MMSC and we select KPI groups. So the first problem was regarding the description. It said that there was no description there. So we just put in the description to say that group. Okay, so we just put in a simple description. And the second problem was regarding this formula that I had misspelled the delivery success. So I'm just going to fix that formula to be the correct name now. Okay, so again, I just saved that. And I want to run just those two tests now. I don't want to run all the tests again, just the tests that that I fixed. So I have the ability here to specify the test numbers that I want to run. So again, I'm going to use the same log file, and I'm going to say, I'm telling the tool to run test 10 and test 64. So I'm going to just clear the window. This just clears this log output window, and I'll run the test again. But this time the test, because there's only two tests, they run very quickly. Again, we can open the log file, and you can see that the two tests have now passed. So you can see in the log file that the two tests have now passed. Okay, so just go back again to the presentation for the next step. So the next step is to create the busy hours. So again, we go back to the TBDK tool. Okay, again, we go under definitions, network objects. I want to create a busy hour for the MMSC itself. So I select the MMSC and I select busy hours. So that brings up the busy hour definition tool. So I need to add a new busy hour for the MMSC. So again, I go into edit mode and add a new role. So I'm just going to call it ZT MMSC traffic busy hour. Okay, I need to give it an acronym. So I'm just going to call it ZT MMSC busy hour. And now I need to pick the KPI that will determine the busy hour. So I'm going to pick the delivery request KPI to be the determiner for the busy hour. So it's the maximum value of the delivery request that will determine the busy hour for the MMSC. So I just save that now. Okay. So again, we go back to the presentation. For the next step, we assign the summaries. So I want to assign the busy hour to the other KPIs that we've defined. So how I do that, there is two different ways of doing it, but I'll just show you one way now. So again, we select the MMSC and we go into summaries. Okay, we select the summary types, and then this time I'm going to select the busy hour that we've just added. Okay, straight away, it'll bring up all the KPI groups that are belonging to the MMSC and the busy hour. And it's up to us now to determine when we want what summary types we want the busy hour to be applied to, whether we want a daily a busy hour summary, weekly busy hour summary, monthly busy hour summary. So I'm going to say that we want all three. So again, in order to do that, we go into edit mode. There is some shortcuts here. You can imagine if you had hundreds of KPI groups to go down and start ticking the individual boxes is very monotonous. So there is some shortcuts here that we say that we can duplicate across all KPI groups and duplicate across all periods. and by just selecting one tick box, it will select all of them. So again, we store that. So I just want to show you now that the individual KPIs have the busy hour summary assigned to them. So again, I'm just going to go into the choose the MMSC, go into KPI groups. This brings up the KPIs. So we're now going to do, select the summaries button, and this will show you that for each of the KPIs, the summary that's applied to it and the period that the summary is applying as well. And that's exactly what we asked for earlier. Okay, so it's going to apply the busy hour to each of those KPIs for a day, or for a busy hour day, busy hour week, and a busy hour month. Okay, so we move on now to the next step, which is to create the report templates. So report templates basically are definitions that can be delivered with a tech pack. They're pre-configured reports that can be deemed useful to end users. So these are report templates that are shipped with the actual tech pack itself. The user always has the ability to create their own reports on the runtime system, but these are just reports that you can do offline. So tech pack report definitions for TMPMW are simple. They're basically a related set of KPIs whose values should be displayed. And the display of network configuration data is actually taken care of by the system itself. So we don't have to specify any identifier attributes in the reports themselves. The system will automatically add those to the reports. Okay, and the report form provides facilities for speeding up report definition in this, and you'll see that now when we go and develop a simple report template. So again, we want to create a report template for the MMSC based on the KPIs that we've just added. So again, in order to do that, we select the MMSC and select reports. Okay. So that brings up the report tool. So I'm going to add one report, which is the MMSC traffic report. So again, in order to add a new report, I go into edit mode. So I'm going to call the report ZTE MMSC traffic. I just give in a simple description. Okay, I give in a report tree branch, so this is basically like a folder for the report on the PMW server itself. So I call it system.engineering.zt.mmsc. Okay, I'm going to specify that the date range should be activated on the report. And now I'm going to specify when are the periods that the report should report on. So again, there's a little wizard to populate the periods for us. So it's populated the periods for the raw, the daily, the weekly, and the monthly. The summary types for the report are total and average. I also want to add the busy hour now. So I'm going to select the busy hour to be added to for the report. And the objects that I want the report to run on, I want it to run on the MMSC, but I also want it to be rolled up to the region and the network. So in order to roll it up to the region network, I add the network object, and I select group by, and I add the region object, and I select group by. Okay. So that's the outline of the report. So now we need to define the actual report content. So we go into report components. We go into edit mode again, and we add a new row. And I'm going to call this basically MMSC traffic data. I'm going to specify the type to be a table. And now I need to specify what's the content of that report. So I'm just going to select the KPIs that we added. So I'm going to say the first one is delivery request. And now I need to basically select the KPI itself. So you can see that it's just a drop-down list that I select the KPI that I want to appear on the report. So I want a delivery request. I'll add another another KPI to appear on the report is the delivery success. And the last one that I'll add for this demonstration is just the percentage delivery success. Again, I just select the KPI. So that's it. So I'm just going to save the report template now. So that's the report template defined. So we just go back again to the presentation. So the next part is to create a LIF type. So again, as I said, you know, a LIF, all LIFs coming from a particular network element will have the same variable types, right? So, for example, they'll have like network and region and so on. So, for each module or tech pack module, we need to define a LIF type. So, we're just going to define that now.
Yeah.
Okay, so in order to define the LIF type, again, I go under definitions, vendor. I pick our vendor, I go under subsystems. This is the subsystem that we added earlier, which is the MMSC. So now I'm going to define the LIF type based on the MMSC subsystem. So again, in order to add a LIF type, we go into edit mode. So the name of the LIF type, I'm just going to give it the ZTE MMSC, just the version. The technology is going to be UMTS. The minimum version is 3.0. The maximum version is 3.0. Now we're going to specify how the format of the start time and start date will appear in the LIF file. So we're going to, in order to specify the format is specified using the uTime Unix expression. So it's uTime start date ampersand start time. So that's basically, we're just after specifying how the start time format will appear in the LIF file. Okay? We now need to also specify how the end time will appear. I'll just copy the start time and specify how the end time will appear. So I'm going to say that the end time mapping is actually the same as the start time, but it's going to have a LIF variable called period added to it. And again, the period mapping is just a variable that will be in the LIF file called period. Okay, so that's our LIF now defined, our LIF type now defined. We just save that again. So again, we just go back to the presentation to the next step, which is to create the rule set. So just a small bit of information on the rule sets. So the rule sets are used to manage the loaders in the core platform. And the loader mappings in the TBDK are stored against a rule set. And the TBDK configures one loader per rule set. And loaders can be turned off and on, and hence rule sets can be activated and deactivated. So basically a rule set is a way of managing a set of load map expressions to be able to turn them on and turn them off. So a rule set is associated with a data source name and version. The data source is generally the vendor and the subsystem together, and the data source version is usually the vendor version. A rule set has a data source type. It can be vendor specific or it can be vendor neutral. And you can have multiple data sources associated with the rule set. So, for example, you could have a vendor neutral and a vendor specific tech pack that's working on the same data. So the loader, basically the same loader, is loading into vendor neutral tables and vendor specific tables. And in that case, you would have a rule set for the loader mappings that are applicable for vendor specific, but you will also have a different rule set for the loader expressions that are applicable for the vendor neutral. The rule set ID is a unique identifier, and the rule set name is initially defaulted in the GUI. So let's go now and create the rule set. So in order to create the rule set, we go under definitions, rule sets. Again, we go into edit mode, and we add a new row. So again, I'm just going to give in a fictitious number to represent the rule set. Okay. I'm going to give in the data source name to be ZT MMSC. I'm going to give in the version to be 3.0. I'm going to give in the data source type to be the vendor specific. So, and the rest of it is automatically filled for us. Okay. So we move back to the presentation again. The last part of the requirements definition is to create the alarm template. So if you remember, I want to create an alarm template based on the percentage delivery failures. So let's just, before we do that, we just there's just a brief description of what the alarm templates are. So alarm template definitions can be delivered with a tech pack. They allow alarms to be raised in the TMPMW when adverse conditions occur. Alarms are raised to a single rule set and hence a single loader. So basically, it's the loader that's raising the alarms, right? As it's inserting the data into the database, it will be the loader that will raise the alarm if a certain alarm threshold is exceeded. So alarms are based on the value of single KPIs. So you can't raise the alarm, these types of alarms, based on meta-layer KPIs. They have to be loader expressions. So the alarm templates then, it has a couple of different parts. So it has an alarm name, which is basically the name of the alarm that you want to for the alarm to appear. An alarm context, which is basically a way of grouping alarms. A description for the alarm. You need to specify the rule set that the alarm will be related to. You specify the alarm type or the event type. You specify the probable cause. You specify the KPI that will generate or that will cause the alarm to be generated. You can specify the alarm stability, which is basically the number of seconds that the alarm condition must be true for the alarm to be raised. For example, you can set it to an hour. So that means that the condition needs to exist for an hour before the alarm will be raised. You can set the alarm validity. This is the number of seconds for which the alarm condition is considered relevant. So data that is older would not cause alarms to be raised. So, for example, if you were resyncing PM data that was old, then in that case you don't want alarms to be raised. So this is basically like a window, a way of specifying a window time where you want data to be determined whether the alarm will be raised or not. The next part of the template is alarm predicates, and these are the conditions under which the different severities of alarms will be raised. And the final part of the alarm template is the alarm scoping, and this is the condition involving other KPIs that also must be true for the alarm to be raised. So let's go and define a new alarm template then based on the percentage delivery failures. So in order to do that, we go to definitions, alarms. Again, we go into edit mode. I'm going to call the alarm. So I'm going to call the alarm delivery failure excessive. I'm going to give the alarm context as UMTS.MMSC. I'm going to give a simple description that this alarm is related to delivery failures. Okay, I'm going to specify the rule set that the alarm needs to be associated with. The event type, so in this case I'm just going to say that the event type is a processing error. I'm going to give the probable cause as a communications protocol error. The alarm KPI is going to be the percentage delivery failure. The alarm stability is going to be the number of seconds. So I'm going to just specify 3,600, which is an hour. I'm going to specify the alarm validity to be 2 hours, which would be 7,200 seconds. And now I go into the predicates and the scoping. So in order to create a critical alarm, I'm going to say that the percent that the value needs to be greater than 40. So the percentage delivery failures needs to be greater than 40 for a critical alarm to be raised. For a major alarm to be raised, I say that it needs to be greater than 20. For a minor alarm to be raised, it needs to be greater than 10. For a warning to be raised, it needs to be greater than 5. And for a clear alarm to be or a clearance predicate to be raised, it needs to be less than 5. Now, I'm going to define the alarm scoping. So I don't want the alarm to be raised if, for example, there is only two delivery attempts and two delivery failures. So I want to specify that the delivery attempts needs to be bigger than a certain number before the alarm can be raised. So in order to do that, I add a new row for the alarm scoping. I'm going to specify that the delivery request needs to be greater than, I'm going to just give it a number of 100. Okay, so that's it. So we have defined our alarm template now. So at this stage, we actually have defined all the requirements for the tech pack. So if we just recap, we've defined the object model, we've defined the KPIs, we've defined the busy hours, we've defined the summaries, and we've also defined the report templates and also the finally the alarms. So at this stage, we're now going to move and on to the low-level design. Most of the low-level design is automated. So we'll just go back to the presentation. And what we'll do now is basically start creating the tech pack module. Okay, so this is now the module that will be loaded onto the PMW server. So in order to do that, we need to create a new tech pack module. So in order to do that, we go into definitions, tech packs. We specify the technology that the tech pack will come under. So in this case, it'll be UMTS, and we create a new module. So again, we go into edit mode. I'm going to call the module ZTE MMSC 3.0. I'm going to specify the technology to be UMTS. The vendor is going to be ZTE. The subsystem is MMSC. The version is 3.0. And the tech pack is also, I'm going to give it a 3.0 version, 3.0 for the module version. And because we've used the network and the region which are belonging to the GOM in our tech pack, we need to say that we have basically a dependency on the GOM tech pack. So in order to do that, we add a new row and we choose the tech pack GOM module that contains the network and region. In this case, it's the neutral core GOM that contains the network and region objects. So we just specify that our tech pack has a dependency on the neutral core GOM. So we save that. Okay. So again, we just go back to the presentation. And what the next step is, we create the package. So what we're doing now is collecting everything to be associated with the tech pack module. So in order to do that, we select the tech pack module and we create a new package related to that module. So again, we go into edit mode and we add a new tech pack or new package name. So again, I'm going to call the package ZTE MMSC 3.0. The tech pack module is the ZTE MMSC module, and it's going to create the package for me. You can see that once it creates the package, it opens a whole bunch of screens to allow me to select what I want to include in the package. So what I need to do now is just select what I want to include in the package. So in order to do that, I go into edit mode. So I need the rule set to be included in our package. So I select the rule set and I say the report template, I also need that to be included in our package. So again, I go into edit mode, select the report template that we added, and say the raw tables haven't been defined yet, so that will be come from the low-level design, so we'll just leave that part for the second. Similarly, with the NC tables, the NC table is a network configuration table. Again, that's not been defined yet for the MMSC. That will be defined by the low-level design, so we'll just leave that for a second. We go on to the lift types. So we do want the lift types to be included. So again, we go into edit mode. We select the lift type that we added, and we say next part is the KPIs. So again, we need to add the KPIs that we've added to the TechPack module. So in order to do that, we go into edit mode. Again, there are some shortcuts down here. Rather than individually selecting the KPIs, for example, we can select all KPIs associated with the vendor. So that will select all the KPIs automatically, and we'll just save. The next one is the counter source, and again, we want that to be included in the tech pack. So again, we go into edit mode, we select it, and we save. The next one is the busy hour definition. So again, we want that added, we want to add that to the TechPack module. So again, we go into edit mode, select it, and save. So the next one is the attributes. So we need to add the MMSC attributes that we added to the TechPack. So again, we just go down and select the MMSC. So again, we just use maybe the shortcut in order to do that. So you can select the MMSC, then we say select all, select the object or all attributes associated with the MMSC. So that will select all the attributes automatically, and we just save. So finally, we also want the alarm template to be included in the tech pack. So again, we go into edit mode, select the alarm template, and save. Okay, so now we have associated everything with the package, which in turn is associated with the TechPack module. Okay, so we just go back to the presentation. So the next part now is to run the component designer. So the component designer is a tool that basically will create the raw tables and also the NC tables for us. So it'll create the schema of the database that will be loaded as part of the TechPack on the PMW server. So in order to run that tool, we go to Tools, Component Designer. So I'm going to specify the package that we just created. I'm going to specify the counter source, the lift type, the rule set. I'm going to run it in test mode first. Okay, and just run it. Okay, so that ran correctly. So I'm just going to take it out of test mode now and run it again. So I'm just going to clear the log file and run the component designer again. So the component designer is now run. So basically, the low-level design at this stage, in our particular case, is auto-generated. The tool is after defining all the raw schemas for us based on our high-level requirements that we entered earlier. So just go back to the presentation again, and what we're going to do now is run the validation tests again just to ensure that the model is correct. So just before that, I just remembered that there was one part that I hadn't entered for the lift type. So just going to go back to subsystems, lift types. If you see up here, I never mentioned the reporting object. So I'm just going to add the reporting object now to be the MMSC. And save. So now I'm just going to go and run the validation test on our model just to ensure that the model is correct. So this time I'm just going to run all the tests. I'm going to keep the logging on. I'm going to don't specify any test numbers because I want all the tests to be run. Again, I just clear the output and run the test. Okay. So again, we can look at the log file, but you know, I guess just quickly go down to the log file. Most of this, anything where you're seeing anything being complained about, is more than likely not related to our tech pack, but it's more related to the GOM. It doesn't mean that the GOM is wrong or anything. It's just that there is an anomaly that the tool is picking up to say that something is not normal. Okay? But you, if you go down through all our tests, you'll see that most of those tests or all those tests are okay for our particular tech pack. Okay? So we go to back to the presentation, and we're going to now generate the tech pack output. So at this stage, we've created the tech pack, and now we just want to output the tech pack into a format that can be loaded onto the PMW server. So in order to do that, again, there's tools there that output the tech pack. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to delete this. Okay, so I'm just going to create different folders for the different parts of the tech pack. So I'm just going to call it tech pack output. Okay, and under here, there's going to be four different folders. One is called the metal layer. The second one is for the load, it's for the load map. The third one is for the alarms. And the fourth one is for the reports. So the first one, we're just going to deal with the load map first. So again, we just go back to the tool. And in order to do the tech pack output, we go to tools. Tech pack output. Okay, we specify the output directory, or we specify the package name, sorry, and we specify the output directory. So again, I'm just going to have the tech pack output into the meta layer directory. I'm just going to turn on the verbose login and run the tech pack output. If you just go back and look at the output directory, then you will see a whole bunch of XML files. So if you remember from the very start of the presentation, we said that these XML files are the files that are used in order to configure the PMW platform to be able to manage a particular network element, and in this case, it's the MMSC. So this is the meta layer configuration for the PMW server in order to be able to manage the ZTE MMSC. Okay, so again, we're going to do something similar for the load map. So again, we go to the load map tab. We select the package. We select the output directory. And again, we turn on the verbose logging. Okay. And again, if we have a look at the directory, you will see that the load map configuration is now being outputted. Okay, so that's the XML files that determine or that specify what the load map configuration is. So again, we go on to the next part, which is the alarms. So for the alarms, again, we just specify the rule set maybe that it's going to be applicable to. We specify the counter source, and we specify the output directory. Again, I turn on the verbose logging. And we just check, you see that again there's an XML file defined that will configure the loader to be able to output the alarm. And the final part of the tech pack output is the reports. So again, we select the reports tab, we select the package and the output directory. Okay. Okay, so again, we just run the tool, and you see that the output has been created for the alarm templates, or for the report template, sorry. So that's the four parts created. So now we just go back to the presentation again. we look at the documentation. So there is a tool there that outputs the KPI repository in a user-readable format. So let's do that. So we just, in order to do that, we go to Tools and Documenter. Okay? So again, here we just select the database. We select the package name that we want the documenter to work on. We select a style sheet. So in this case, we want it in a requirements fashion. So we're going to select the PRS style sheet. Okay. We're going to specify the output file directory. Okay. So in order to do that, just go back. We give in the output file. I'm just going to call it ZTE MMSC 3.0_PRS.html. I'm going to turn on the verbose logging. So I had a copy here for 2.0, so we should now see a 3.0 version being created. So again, you see 3.0 is created. So again, if you just open that, so again, you see that this is a HTML file, but if you look at the contents of the HTML file, it basically has all the tech pack that we entered. So it has the object model and for the MMSC. It has the busy hour definitions. It has the KPIs, and it has the performance alarms. And finally, it also has the report template that we added. So again, that is in a readable format, a user-readable format, so that you can use it basically for inspections and so on. Okay, so let's go back to the presentation again. And what we're going to do now, which is the final step, is to run the packager. So this is now going to create basically a binary file that contains the XML files that were exported in the TechPack output, so that the TMPMW installer can install the TechPack for us. So there's just a little batch file that does that. So what we'll do is, in order to run the batch file, okay. What we do is I'll do it from the command line. So I need to go to the directory where the TechPack or where the TBDK is actually installed. So I go to Program Files. The IBM Tivoli. And I'll go into the version of the tech pack that we're now working on. So I'll just cd into the new version. I go into the bin directory, and you will see that there is a batch file in there called tmpmw_packager.bat. So I'm going to run that now. So the parameters for that batch file are, you need to specify the package name. So the package name was ZTE MMSC 3.0. We need to specify an output directory for the binary file to be output. So we specify the output directory. So I'm just going to create an output directory for the tech pack. So just call it... So I just call it TechPack Output 3.0. Okay. I'm going to just paste in that. Okay. And I'm going to specify that I want verbose logging to be turned on. So So the tool is now running. So it's, what it's doing is it's going to create basically a binary file that contains the entire tech pack so that the installer can install the tech pack. Okay, so now if we just look at our directory, you will see that there's a binary file there, which is basically the file that the installer will install the tech pack with. So the last step then is that we just want to export the entire repository. So I just want to show you that the entire repository can be exported. So in order to do that, I'm just going to create a new directory that will store the repository. Okay, so in order to do the backup, there is a tool in the TBDK that allows us to do a backup. So we can go to Tools, Data Manager, Export, and I want to export everything. So I'm just going to give it a name and call it ZT MMSC 3.0. And I give in the output directory. Again, I turn on the verbose logging and run the tool. Okay, so the tool is finished. So we'll just look at the output. You'll see that there's a whole bunch of XML files created, and each of those XML files actually represent part of the KPI repository. And that's it. So just, I think that's really the entire presentation finished now. So is there any questions?
I have a question. Patrick, could you please tell me how, if I have a regular tech pack, let's say Nokia BSS, and I want to change something in this tech pack, can I load entirely tech pack in a TPDK? To be able to change something using TPDK in a Nokia BSS tech pack.
So first of all, we need to distinguish between the tech pack, the runtime tech pack, and the TPDK repository. So as I said at the very start, the repository is different to the actual tech pack. The repository is basically the requirements and the design that creates the tech pack. So when you have the tech pack that you're talking about, is the actual runtime tech pack. So that tech pack it can't be input into the TBDK. What you would need is the associated TBDK repository. Once you have the TBDK repository associated, say, for example, with your Nokia tech pack, then you can input that repository into the TBDK and modify it. I think that from a practical point of view, that is doable. Whether you want to do that or not, and for support reasons, I'm not sure. You know, maybe Tom can address that part.
Okay. Thanks.
Is there any other question?
Just note, Patrick, on the alarms. for the wireless side currently, the alarm template creation is not viable. So in the formal course, we actually don't cover that because you don't create alarm templates. You must create them manually in the
Sorry, can you, I missed your, like, so what you're saying is that it's not possible to create the alarm templates, is that correct?
Well, you can create them, but they won't import properly in in the wireless side. So you can create them, but they're of limited use because you can't, the XML file can't be imported with the alarm admin.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, so just, so it does work, of course, if you were doing NPM, I suppose, but not for PMW.
Okay, that's fine.
And there is lots of discussion going on now about what is viable edits modifying to answer. If Tom hasn't answered, I didn't hear him, on what can and can't be done with tech pack modifications. So
that's the subject of much discussion about about how we manage the various use cases about, you know, whether we should extend tech packs, whether we should allow modification of tech packs. That's a work in progress. I guess there's a balance between having a free-for-all where we kind of allow all types of no control at all to a very rigid tech pack source management. And I guess the balance is somewhere in between.
So we don't have any clear directives yet on what that is, but it is a discussion. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, is there any other questions?
No, very good, thanks.
Okay. So I think that's it for me. If unless Tom or do you have anything else to say?
Will the recording be available for download?
Yes, it will. This is George. So that was kind of the main point of this presentation, is to get it recorded so that partners and IBMers alike will be able to utilize that.
Mm-hmm. I already have a similar recording for what I call the Tech Pack Fundamentals course, by the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could group those together.
Yeah, actually, I think it's on an internal Tivoli site already.
With that, thank you very much, Patrick. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it. And please let us know if there's any questions or feedback that you'd like to send. Please send them to myself, grhunter@us.ibm.com. Thank you very much, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.